Well, good morning, everybody. I'm excited to get to share with everyone today. My name is Lance Garrison. I'm the youth pastor here, and I get to spend time with the most amazing students and small group leaders in the world every single week and teach them. And so getting to share with everybody here is really exciting for me. I'm just excited to be here with you guys, and I hope that today we can all just learn together and have a good time. Does that sound good? All right, we good for that? Okay, cool. I work with students, so I really like reactiveness, right? So you guys, like, students talk all the time, okay, nonstop. So don't be afraid to just have fun this morning as we kind of get into this topic of see the world together. One of the things that's really interesting about this series is we're talking about perspective. We're kind of talking about the way we see things, right? And one thing about our culture is we really like people who see things the way we see things, right? Like, we love it when people see things the way we do, and we don't always like it when they see it differently, do we? We actually try to convince them to see it our way, right? Like, we're like, hey, you just don't get it. Like, see it our way. Parents, you probably deal with this more than anybody, amen? Like, to our parents in here. you have students, you have kids, and you're like, I just want you to see math the way I see math. Like, it's actually important, okay? I want you to see grades the way I see grades, and I want you to see sugar and carbs the way I see sugar and carbs, right? Like, you're trying to teach your kids this. And I don't know a lot about that because I don't have kids yet, right? I just have dogs, and they never see the way I see things, right? They're just so different. But I am married to an amazing, wonderful woman, and yeah, you guys can clap for her. She puts up with a lot, right? I'm always trying to get my wife to see things the way I see things. Any other guy in there? You try this with your wives, right? I'm like, Caitlin, I just want you to see money the way I see money. Like, let me spend it on what I want to spend it on. Like, I want you to see sex the way I see sex, right? And I want you to see money the way I see money, right? Let's go back to parenting. So we kind of have this idea on, I want people to see things the way I see things. And a lot of times we come at it from a good thing, right? It's because we have experience for our children, right? That's why we want them to see things the way we see things, because we know what the outcome is probably going to look like. We know if they don't get good grades, it's going to be harder for them to go to college. We know if we don't teach them morals and basics now, it's going to be more difficult when they get older. And so the truth is so much the same with God. You see, God wants you to see the world the way he sees the world. Because we're going over this big idea through this series, that when we see as God sees, we're more inclined to do as he says. When we see as God sees, we are more inclined to do as he says. You see, God has the big picture in mind when it comes to your life. God sees the end result of our actions. God sees the outcomes of situations. And so when God, with God's vision, if we could see the world the way God sees the world, we might not make the big mistakes. We might actually seize the good opportunities and miss out on the hurt and the pain in some different situations. And so through this series, we're talking about different things and trying to discover, how does God see this so I can see the same way that God sees? And God wants this for you. In Matthew 5, one of the most famous passages, Jesus is preaching. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those who are pure, for they will see the way that God sees. You see, God wants you to have vision like his. God wants you to see the same way he sees. God wants you to see finances the way he sees finances. God wants you to see your family the way he sees your family. God wants you to see your workplace the way he sees your workplace. And maybe you're here today and you deal with a lot of self-doubt and maybe some depression, some anxiety. And I want you to hear today that God wants you to see you the way he sees you, as valuable and precious and loved. You see, what if we decided to look at the world the way that God looks at the world? So today, we're going to kind of camp out on one particular subject, and this is the subject of time. We're going to talk about time. And when we talk about time, one of the interesting things about it is time is how we measure our lives. When somebody passes away, we don't talk about how much money they made in their life, right? We don't say this was so-and-so and they made X amount of dollars while they lived. Or we don't say they had this many different houses or this many cars. we talk about the time that they were here on earth, right? We talk about they lived X amount of years. They were here for this long. And the memories that we have with people are most of the time that we spent with them, right? I want you to think about the best vacation you ever went on as a little kid, okay? Everybody kind of get this in your mind for a second. Your favorite vacation you went on as a kid. And then think about that same year, that vacation, I want you to try to think about what you got for Christmas, okay? What did you get for Christmas that same year? And it's hard to remember the things that we got, but the time that we spent with people will stick with us forever, right? And so time is actually one of the most valuable commodities we'll ever have. Time is an asset, and we talk about it like it's an asset. We say things like, how are you spending your time, right? We talk about wasting our time. Thank you, Netflix, right? We talk about investing our time into things that actually matter. And we talk about buying more time. Time is so valuable to us. At the end of somebody's life, we'll pour every asset we have. We'll pour as much money as we can to have more time with them. And then when the hospital bills come in and we look at them, what do we say? We say it was worth it to have more time with them. But the problem is I think that we waste a lot of that time that we have, right? But what if we were to see time the way God sees time? So some people in here, you work with people who somehow just seem to have all the time in the world, right? They have time to get their work done. They have time to somehow get the promotion. And then they talk about actually making it to their kids' Little League games on time. Anybody work with someone like that? Like they have time, right? And then you're like, dude, I barely have time to warm up my Hot Pocket at lunch. Like, how do you have all this time, right? And we wonder and we think about how is it that they have this much time? So I want to take a quick poll. How many people in here have, this is very interactive, so you gotta do this with me. How many of you have 24 hours in your day? I just want to see a show of hands. All right. If you're not raising your hand, we will have a quick teaching from the sixth graders again right after service on how many hours are in a day. You see, the thing about time is that it's no respecters of persons. You have 24 hours in your day. The person sitting next to you has 24 hours in their day. It's not like anybody gets an upper hand here. Nobody gets an advantage and is like, actually, I have 27 hours in my day, right? Like, everybody is equal when it comes to time. It's no respecters of persons. And so today, we're going to kind of break apart and look at this question of how does God view time? How does God view time? If we were to look at time through the lens of God, what would it look like? How does God view it? And so to do this, we're going to use a man and look at what he says about time. This guy's name is Moses. So Moses, the reason we're going to talk about Moses and the reason we take Moses so seriously, it is not just because Moses was in the Bible, but also because Jesus himself took Moses seriously. Like Jesus believed that Moses lived. He talked about him. He respected him. Jesus took him seriously. And so because of that, we take Moses seriously, and we're going to look at what Moses kind of, we're going to break apart first his life, and then we're going to talk about what he said about time. So Moses wrote a psalm, and that's what we're going to look up today. It ended up in the book of Psalms. He lived to be 120 years old. And so you talk about a man with experience, like 120 years old, that's a long time. And so this guy, he lived life. He knew things. He had experience. And Moses was also, he was adopted. But there was a really interesting thing about Moses' adoption. So Moses was a Hebrew, and the Hebrew people were enslaved by a group, and a different group of people called the Egyptians. And so the Egyptians were very cruel and mean to the Hebrews, and the Pharaoh saw, the ruler of the Egyptians, he was called the Pharaoh, he saw that the Hebrews were becoming too powerful. And so what he decided to do was kill all of the young boys that were the Hebrews. And so Moses' mom decided, okay, I don't want them to kill my son, so I'm going to put him in a basket and push him down a river full of crocodiles. I don't know how that was a better idea, right? But somehow this worked out for Moses. And the Pharaoh's daughter was out swimming in the river. She actually found Moses, right? And she adopted Moses into the Egyptian kingdom, okay? So Moses now becomes into the kingdom, part of the family of the most powerful family in the world, okay? But he was, like I said, he was a Hebrew, right? That's where he was born. He was born as a Hebrew. And so he was adopted, but there was a want inside of his life to help the Hebrews. Like there was a desire to help those people, these slaves. And so Moses was treated as an Egyptian. He was treated as royalty. He had everything that the world could throw at him. He had the most powerful family. He had the wealth. He had everything, right? But there was still something in him that wanted to help the Hebrews. So much so that one day, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and Moses decided that he had to step into the picture, and he actually ended up killing the Egyptian, and Moses became a man on the run. And while Moses was running from God, there was something that happened, or not running from God, sorry, while Moses became on the run, something happened, and he caught a case of purpose. You see, Moses, we need to pay attention to Moses, and this is why. When somebody leaves a life of everything, I mean, everything the world could offer Moses, he had at his fingertips, right? When somebody leaves a life of everything to do something significant, let's pay attention to them. Because this person has discovered the connection between time, life, and purpose. So we're going to look at Moses' life and trust what he has to say about time, because he has discovered the connection between time, life, and purpose. He left everything the world could offer him to go after something else. And so what Moses is going to explain to us, I'm going to give you the big overview of what we're going to look at. So it's kind of like I'm giving you the answer to the test before you take it, right? And so Moses is going to teach us in Psalm 90 that context is everything. That when it comes to time, context is everything. And more specifically, that there is no purpose apart from context. That there is no purpose apart from context. How many of you at your house, you have a drawer that looks something like this? Anybody, you have a drawer that, you guys, you have something that looks kind of like this, right? Like, it's got cords, and it's got cables, and I don't even know what this battery goes to, right? Like, this is actually from my house, okay? I don't know what this stuff goes to, but there's little connector things in here that this probably goes to something I don't even own anymore, right? But for some reason, I'm keeping it. Anybody else out there, you have one of these, right? And you sometimes you go through and you just look at it. You just got to look at it a little bit, and you're like, I don't know what this goes to, but it's cool, right? And we hold on to these things, but one of the interesting things about these drawers, if you have them, and most likely it's the guy in the house that has these drawers, right? And my wife looks at it sometimes and she goes, can we throw this stuff away? And I'm like, one day we will use that. And I tell you what, I look forward to that day, maybe more than the day of my firstborn child. Like, I cannot wait till the day that we use one of these. And Caitlin looks at me and says those two words every husband desires to hear, you're right, right? Like, I cannot wait for that day that we actually use something out of this drawer. But kind of the interesting thing is, a lot of times you pull something out of the drawer and you just look at it and you say, what is it? Like, what is this for? Like, what good is this? I don't know what it goes to. I just hold on to it. And there's really no purpose behind it, right? But the thing about these cords is, once you discover what they're connected to, and once you discover that they do hold a purpose and that they're for something, they become a lot more valuable, don't they? It's kind of like that when you were putting that desk together and you had those extra screws. I don't need these, right? And you just kind of toss them off, and then you pull out the drawer and it just flies to the wall and puts a hole in your wall, right? And you're like, there's where the screw went, right? And you look for it, and it turns out that was the only screw ever made in the world that fit that little piece, right? And so now the desk is just ruined. It's done with. You see, there's something that happens when we look at our lives this way, and we wonder, what's the point? What's the purpose? I live, I go to work, and then what? Like, what's the purpose of my life? And sometimes we treat our lives like the cord in the drawer, don't we? And we just wonder, like, what's the point? Because maybe we're missing what we're supposed to be connected to, and maybe we're missing the source and the context. And so Moses today is gonna teach us something about context. He's gonna teach us something about purpose. Because when we ask the question, when we pull a cord out of the drawer and we say, what is this? It's a purpose question, right? What's the purpose of this? What does this do? What is the function? And just like the cords, though, your life takes on purpose when you find something to connect it to, or someone to connect it to. And maybe you've even looked at something in the drawer and you've kind of thrown it away, right? Like, I don't need this anymore. And maybe that's where you're feeling with your life right now. You're starting college, and you have no idea what you want to do with your life. You've changed your major 10 times already in your first 6 months of college. And you're like, I don't know what to do with my life. And you almost feel like your life is just going to be thrown away. Maybe you just started your career. Maybe you're in the military, and you're still trying to figure out, okay, I don't feel it. I'm not getting it. What's the purpose? What am I doing here? And you're looking for that. You're grasping at straws just trying to find it. Maybe you just retired. And you're like, okay, so I retired, now what? I have so much time, and I don't know what to do with it. Like, what's the purpose of the time that I have now? What am I supposed to do with this? And so let's look at together this psalm in Psalm 90. And this is the oldest psalm in the Jewish scripture, written around 1200 to 1300 BC. In verse 1, Moses starts off with this. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. So right at the beginning, Moses points out this key point that God, you have been the source for what? For all generations. You have been the place to go forever. You have been the one for us forever. And that's a pretty big deal, because somehow, even though Moses was brought up in an Egyptian household that served other gods, Moses discovered that even though he was brought up in a different way, he found God and discovered that God has been the source forever. That even when he wasn't serving God, that God was still the source that he needed. And then he says this in verse 2. He says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, doing this studying and preparing for this message, this quickly became one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. And I'm gonna explain to you why. When I was reading this at first, it's kind of easy to look at and go, I don't understand what Moses just said, but it sounds good, right? It sounds good. But I'm excited to kind of break this down, because this, what Moses understands here, is amazing. About 3,000 years ago is when this was written. And Moses understood that God was not just, he wasn't somebody that was created, but that God was an immaterial, uncreated creator. What I mean is that Moses somehow grasped the concept of eternity. Moses somehow understood that God has always existed, that God was not created. Now, here's why this is kind of crazy that Moses understood this. He grew up under the Egyptians, who worshiped the god Ra. Now, there's kind of two camps that believe where Ra came from. The first camp believes that Ra was self-created. That's a really cool magic trick, right? Like, somehow you got to show up right before you happen. I don't know how that worked out, but like, Ra, how did you come about? I don't know. Somehow I showed up before it happened, right? Like, that's kind of just crazy. And another camp believes that Ra was created by a god who was created by a god who was created by a god. And when you track it back far enough, that god created themselves as well. There's a really big problem with a god creating themselves out of nothing. And R.C. Sproul says this, that the problem is called, this is a tongue twister, ex nihilo nihil fit, all right? Which means out of nothing, nothing comes. Out of nothing, nothing comes. If at one point in the world there was absolutely nothing, okay, then that means today, guess what there would be? Nothing. And so, I don't know how Moses got this without the revelation from God. That's the only way he could have really understood this, right? That he understood that God was not created, that God has existed forever. There has been an eternal existence that is God. And that because he has eternally existed, because his life is forever, he is the source of all other existence, and he is the purpose of all other life. Guys, this is amazing. We hold true to this. 3,000 years ago, Moses said this, and it's still true today. This is amazing that somehow Moses grasped and understood the concept of eternity, that God is eternal, and because he's eternal, he is the source of all life. In verse 3, He continues on and he says, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. I kind of laughed when I read this, because immediately I just thought of Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, right? Like can we just please have somebody dress up as Gandalf and say this for me? Like, return to dust, you mortals. I don't know. It was just the most Gandalf thing in the entire Bible. Verse 4, he says, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. 1,000 years are like a day. Meaning, man, compared to eternity, 1,000 years are just like a blip on the radar, just a little boop on the screen, right? 1,000 years. It's hard for me to comprehend 100, 200 years, but 1,000 years are like a day gone by, a day quickly passed. We've all had those days that just kind of fly by, right? Those tend to be the days that we're really enjoying, the days that we're like, oh, this is so much fun, it went by too quickly. And just imagine that 1,000 years are like one of those fast days compared to eternity. You see, Moses keeps bringing up, and we're going to see he continues talking about this idea of eternity because eternity is important. And we don't, sometimes we don't want to talk about it because we can't really, honestly, we can't understand eternity, right? It's really hard to understand forever. But Moses keeps bringing it up because when it comes to time, keeping eternity in perspective is important. And we need to remember that. In verse 5, he says this, "Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning." In verse 6, he says, "In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered." And his point is this, that life is short, right? And to be honest, we all know that. And some of you in here are like, thanks for the reminder, Lance, right? I didn't need to be reminded of that. And some of us know that all too well, that life is short, right? And so sometimes we treat our life, because it's so short, we almost just treat it like the cord. And we look at it and we say, okay, so life is short. What's the point? What's the point then? Like, where's the purpose? If life is short, Lance, then what's the point? And Moses, you're telling me life is short. I get that. I understand that. I knew that before you reminded me. So then what's the point? What is this good for? But Moses tells us that life is short to remind us to look for purpose, and that purpose requires connection. And that, yes, life is short, but you can be connected to someone who holds eternity in his hands. And you can be connected to somebody who will change your life forever. Because you were designed for a purpose. You were no accident. God designed you for an absolute amazing purpose. In verse 10, jumping down just a few verses, he says this, "Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." This is Moses' description of a life without context, that it's here and gone. It's really quick. That we're here, we live, and then we're gone. This is a life without purpose. And I know that no person in here wants to live a life without purpose. Nobody in here desires to just be like, oh, I can't wait to just live a life without meaning, right? Because we weren't created to make a living. We were created to make a difference. And that's why this room is full of difference makers, right? Because God created you to make a difference, not just make a living. And so when we understand this, when we begin to grasp the purpose behind it and the context of it, I promise you it will change your life forever. He continues on, and just when we're like, okay, so what's the point? We're almost in despair. Moses says this. In verse 11, he says, "If we only knew," meaning that there's something that we might be missing, that there's something to know, something to understand. If we only knew. Knew what? Come back next week to find. No, I'm just kidding. So if we only knew, right? If we only knew the power of your anger. That just took a really quick turn, didn't it? We're talking about time, like life is short. Now we're talking about anger. Is Moses getting ready to kill another Egyptian? Like, what is going on in his head right now? And he says this, "If we only knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due." Okay, Moses, I was okay with this until you started talking like, where are we going with this? What are you doing? So I don't want to bore you with like a Hebrew grammar lesson, okay? So we're gonna kind of break this down simply. That the idea that Moses is bringing across here is that if we could see God as he is, we would give him the reverence that is due. If we could see God as he truly is, we would respect God and give him the reverence that he deserves. I want you to think about real quick, if you've ever met a really famous person, if you've ever met anybody really famous. I've never actually got to meet anybody really famous. The closest I ever got was when somebody gave my family tickets to a Phoenix Suns game, and they were playing the 76ers, and Joel Embiid, who's just a giant, right? If you watch basketball, the guy's amazing. He was down about three or four rows in front of us. We were right by the floor, and he was down there, and I was just like, ah, right? And I wanted to say something so bad, but I couldn't talk. It was like weird. I just looked at him, and he was like, what's up, man? Like, it was kind of weird, right? It's kind of, he's like, why is this guy just staring at me? And I'm like, I was just looking at him, and Caitlin, I was like, Caitlin, that's Joel Embiid. And she's like, okay, right? Like, I don't know who that is. And so it was really, it was cool. Like, I saw somebody famous, and I was a little bit starstruck, just to be honest. I kind of was. And if you've ever met anybody famous, you've probably been there too. And maybe you were like me, and you just couldn't talk, or maybe you were on the opposite end of the spectrum, and you couldn't stop talking to them, right? You're just talking, and you're telling them their whole life story. You're like, okay, so I was born on this day in this town, and you're walking through everything, and in your mind, you're like, stop talking, but your mouth just keeps moving, right? And you walk away, and you're like, I didn't even get to hear them say one thing, right? And so think about somebody maybe that you would love to meet like that, somebody really famous. Maybe it's an athlete. Like LeBron James, you'll probably get a chance to meet him. The guy moves around a lot. Maybe, you know, maybe it's a really famous singer, right? Maybe it's a not a politician. Maybe it's an actor, right? Like you're like, I'd really love to meet Thor. Whoever it is, just think about meeting them for a second. You would be awestruck, right? You'd be starstruck. Now, that's just another person, right? That's just another human, just like you and me. The only difference is they make a lot more money than we do, and they're kind of popular, right? They got more Instagram followers. But now, if we're that way in front of another human, imagine being in the presence of the creator of the universe. Imagine seeing God in all his glory. Moses asked God, he was on the mountain, he got the Ten Commandments, right? It was the first time that somebody had ever downloaded something from the cloud onto the tablet. Come on, guys, that's as good as the jokes are gonna get, all right? And Moses is up there, and he says, God, I want to see you in all your glory. And God is like, my glory is hidden, so you're not smitten, okay? Like, I can't do this for you. And he says, okay, but Moses, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my hand over you. I'm going to walk around, and you're going to see my back. Moses sees his back, comes down off the mountain, and his face is literally glowing from seeing the back of God. Just imagine for a second, if we could even get a glimpse of the glory of God, we would probably follow him forever, wouldn't we? Because even a glimpse of that great of a person, of that great of God, would make you want to follow him forever. Because God's glory is that amazing and that great. So the big idea that Moses is bringing about in these first few verses is that God created us for his purpose, on purpose. God created you for his purpose. On purpose. There was no accident. God didn't make you and go, oh, that's not the one I made to make. Like, you were made on purpose for God's purpose. And in verse 12, the last verse we're going to look at, he starts off with these two words, teach us. Everybody say, teach us. He says, teach us to number our days. Or teach us to remember that our days are numbered. When you were a kid and you got a dollar for the first time, that dollar meant the world to you, didn't it? It was like, oh my goodness, I can buy so much with this dollar. I can buy like, not a lot, but a little bit with this dollar, right? And my mom used to take us to the dollar store. And when I got a dollar, I was like, I am rolling right now, right? Like, and I just had to spend it right away. My brother always saved, but I was like, I gotta spend it. I have it. It's gotta be gone. I gotta do something with this. And then you get a little bit older and maybe you got your first $10 bill in a birthday card or something. And you're like, I never have to work again. I never have to work a day in my life. I got $10, and then you got $20, and you're like, I can retire at 10, right? Like, this is great. But then you get older, and if your boss was to come in and tell you, hey, I'm going to give you a $20 a year raise, you'd be like, okay, thank you, right? Like, $20 a year? And here's the thing about it is that we value things based on how much we have, right? And sometimes we think we have eternity with the people here and here on this earth, and we treat our lives like we have an endless amount of days instead of numbering our days and putting a value behind each day. You see, Moses here is saying, value every single day. Parents, value the days that you have now with your children. They may be chaotic. They may be coloring on the walls with crowns, and you're like, you're 16, quit. But Value the days that you have with your kids. Dads, take your daughters on those father-daughter date nights. Like, those are important. Before they start dating a stinky junior high boy, take them on a date and show them what a man, how a man should treat a woman, right? Dads, raise your sons to be honorable men before the world tries to teach them what a man is like. Like, let's value the days. Children, value the days with your parents. You're looking forward to moving out, going off to college. Value the days that you have with your parents, because when you move out, the first thing you're going to miss is your parents. It's the very first thing. Value the time that we have with your siblings. Value the time that you have at your workplace, because time is valuable. And Moses says to number our days, and he says it because of this. He says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days so that we can spend our time wisely. You see, too many times we ask the question of, what am I here for? But maybe we change the question and start saying, who am I here for? Because of what, Moses looked at this and he had everything in the world. He had everything he could ask for, but it was still too small of a thing to live for because it was a what. But when Moses started living for a who, he found purpose. When Moses started living for a who, he got connected to something bigger and greater than himself. You see, when we live for a what, just like in verse 10, Moses says, you may be 70 or 80 years old if you're strong enough, but the best of them are but troubled sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. Today, I want you to know that you were created on purpose for God's purpose. If you forget everything else I said today, that's fine. Just remember that you were created on purpose for God's purpose. And to close, I want to say thank you, because there's so many people in here who understand this idea of the importance of time. And the reason I know that is because you're willing to invest your time into others. You're willing to wake up early on a Sunday morning to come down here and greet people at the front doors, right? You're willing to wake up early and come down and run tech. You're willing to get in the nurseries and change diapers. Thank you, right? You're willing to work with kids and youth, and you're willing to go into your workplace and maybe be the only light, the only Christian in your workplace. You're willing to take your time and make a difference in your families. I want to say thank you so much, because so many of you get this. So many of us are working on this and still working on it, right? And there's still progress to be made. But I do want to say thank you so much, because this is a place full of difference makers. And not because of anything other than you understand the value of your time. And so thank you for that. I'm going to pray and close. And as we close, we'll have prayer teams available up here. And if today, if you're here and you're like, man, Lance, you're right. Like, I do need to, my time, I need to put value behind my days. Then I want to invite you to maybe just come have a conversation with somebody about, what does that look like? Come pray with somebody. Or if you're here today and you're like, look, I do look at my time like that. I wonder, like, okay, what's the point? What's the purpose? What am I doing with my life? If you're looking for connection, then today God is wanting to connect with you. He's the source. And if you're looking for purpose, you don't have to look anymore, because it's available to you today. And I want to invite you to come and talk to somebody and pray with someone today. God, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you for giving us purpose. God, we thank you for being purpose for us. And God, today I just pray that we would continue, God, to see the world the way you see the world, God, that we would understand who you are, God, and that we would just begin to see people the way you see people, God, and this community the way you see it, and that we would see time the way you see it, God, that we would continue to be connected to you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.